Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Leaders in Supply Chain podcast. I am your host, Rado Palamari, Managing Director of Elkett Global.
Delighted to have with us today Murad Tamud, who is the Chief Supply Chain Officer of Schneider Electric. He's been with Schneider Electric for a long time, since 1997, to be most precise, when he started as a logistics and supply chain manager, I believe, at that point. He's had a multitude of positions across supply chain operations, procurement, and he has been leading the overall global supply chain or organization of Schneider since 2019. Murad, pleasure to have you. Thanks for joining and welcome.
Thanks a lot, Radu. It's really a great pleasure to be with you today and to have this opportunity to share with the community and kind of, you know, put together some thoughts about, you know, what has been happening in supply chain and, you know, how we see things moving forward together. So really delighted to be with you today.
Super. Now, I know that you graduated, yeah, from the Polytechnique in Grenoble in France. I know that the Polytechnique is, you know, it's kind of the pinnacle of education in France. My first question, how did you decide once you graduate to go into logistics and supply chain?
Well, things at that age when we are 23, 24 years old, you have the opportunity to do some internship with different companies. And I was lucky to, in fact, being offered an engineering internship at that time in one of the Schneider facility in Spain at that time, the facility that still operates today. And I had this chance of spending 3 months in Valencia in Spain and working with very, very good professional people that really kind of gave me this sense, this desire of working on connecting, I would say, the technical aspect that you learn at school with, I would say, the physical aspect, you know, working on some subjects. At that time, it was around quality, it was about first pass yield. They were starting, and it's kind of very funny time, they were starting to digitize quality in one of the important product line that was there at that time. And we were using, for the ones, I'm quite sure that many of your our auditors today do not know, but we were using the Minitel. The Minitel was kind of the ancestor of internet, and they were connecting some Minitel devices on the lines and collecting the data and visualizing the first pass yield. And for me, it was like, you know, the consecration of spending 3 years in an engineering school and finally getting into a plant and meeting real people, understanding how a process runs, etc. And I think this is probably one of the step where I kind of started getting into it. I had the opportunity in my last year studies, we do a 6 months internship, and I was again offered by Schneider to join one of the facility. That one was in Belgium, doing accessories for mini circuit breakers. And I was given the challenge to help of the implementation of an ERP system. So at that time, there was no SAP and so on, but it was a kind of mainframe. And I have to say that I was two things. Number one, with the experience, I'm saying to myself, people that gave me that job were probably a bit crazy, because I don't know whether I would have given to a person of 23 years old, the destiny of the entire company to deploy an ERP with the risk of, you know, completely collapsing the systems, etc. But on the other side, it was, again, a fantastic opportunity for me to, in fact, learn how the company really operates, you know, from the commercial parameters, commercial organization, to the planning, to I would say the manufacturing, the warehouse, the procurement, the R&D with bill of materials, etc. And frankly, when you have to set up an ERP, you finally touch all the dimensions of the company. And I mean, I did that for the equivalent of 6 to 9 months. And after almost a year there, I was given the responsibility of running the planning function, a small group of people. And again, you know, taking at 24, 25 years old, the responsibility of leading the planning function for a plant of that time, probably 300-400 people, was a real nice, interesting, you know, onboarding and starting of my career.
Wow, certainly. I mean, I do remember So I was 21, and I got at that point an internship in Continental. So Continental, the tire company, they had a division called ContiTech, which made a couple of things for the car. I mean, I'm not technical. I don't even know what they made, but they made some things that go into the making of the car. And I was there for 3 months. I cannot imagine you at 23, 24 doing the things that you did. I was completely lost. Like after 3 months, I was like, oh my God, this is way too complex. So I do believe that type of experience, and also the fact that you had it so early on, constitutes a very good building block to, well, obviously where you ended up today. And I want to follow up now with fast forward. Yeah. So the last 3 years, so that was the beginning. Last 3 years, chief supply chain officer, full swing pandemic and COVID-19. How was that for you?
Well, I sometimes say to my friends and colleagues, I didn't sign for this, okay?
Nobody did.
I was given the keys of the supply chain of Schneider Electric. I mean, a few numbers to give you a bit of the size. We are talking 80,000 supply chain professionals and you know, the size of the organization. We are talking 180 factories around the globe, 100 distribution centers, thousands of suppliers. So it is a very large scale, I would say, operations. I think the last 3 years have been extremely, extremely exciting, challenging, fast learning period of time. I mean, you know, as you said, I've been more than 25 years of my career in supply chain. I have to say that the last 3 years have nothing to compare with the previous 24, okay, or 23. So I think we all collectively have learned in a very accelerated manner. If you would compare what we all grew up as supply chain leaders in the past, we were all about, you know, managing costs, being, you know, deploying lean concepts, driving optimization, trying to work in globalized world. And that was probably, I would say, between the late 80s all the way to the last 3 years, what were the main drivers, you know, going after scales and this kind of thing. So I think the last 3 years have really shaken some of the beliefs, the deep beliefs of supply chain. I think if I could kind of high level mention a few words that really for me transformed the way we envision the supply chain, I would put number one that supply chain has moved from a back office role into a real business partner, C-suite position in the company. I mean, you have a level of responsibility in delivering, you know, the top line, delivering the bottom line, delivering the cash of the company, and a lot of challenges that the last 3 years are coming back, you know, at the crossroad with the commercial teams, with the, I would say, business and development teams at the center where the supply chain is positioned. So that's number one. Number two, I think that sustainability has accelerated in a way that nobody can anymore, you know, ignore the importance and how sustainability is also completely part of your supply chain strategy. And I will come back certainly later to that. The third one is really about the digital. I mean, we learned during the pandemic and the COVID-19 that you cannot go to visit your factories. You cannot go and meet face-to-face your supplier, but you still need to operate. You need to have, you know, visibility across the board. You need to bring transparency in your supply chain. And the only way to do that is digital, is really high level and fast investment in developing digital capabilities. Also personally amazed about, you know, how much we were able to do during the last 3 years that probably, you know, we were slow at doing before these 3 years. So many things were, oh, it's take time, we have to develop this, we'll see later. We were forced by, I would say, the constraints that we were dealing with to accelerate significantly that change. And I would say the last point that I could not, you know, move without speaking about it is, I think that we all understood the importance of resilience. And, you know, in a deglobalized world, in a world where, you know, transportation costs have exploded, where, you know, geopolitical tensions have never been as big as they are now since, I would say, the Second World War. I think we all learned that you cannot operate a supply chain if you don't have a real strategy of resilience, a business continuity plan, you know, analyzing your time to survive, your time to recover, having the, you know, plan Bs, managing dual sourcing, multiple designs for the same offer. Those are the kind of things that, you know, beside lean concepts and lean efficiency, historical drivers, what we learn is losing a customer or impacting a customer is way more important than, or not losing a customer is way more important than just delivering, you know, a bit of efficiency.
Yeah, some great principles there. I'll just add a conversation that I had with a different chief supply chain officer, and he was saying that the way he explains the last 2-3 years, so especially this was a little bit still in COVID, so he was talking to his organizations and was trying to figure out how do I keep them still motivated. And similar to what you said, you know, 23 years before, you've never experienced anything as intense as the last 3 years. So his pitch to his organization was, look, people, I have, you know, it took me 20 years to learn all the things that I've learned in the last 2 years. You're getting accelerated learning. Be grateful. So I actually asked him, do they believe you when you say that? So it is true, and it was painful.
No, no, it is. And I think you mentioned people, and not by willingness to forget about it, because I think that organizations like supply chain everywhere in different companies, and in particular in Schneider, as I said, we are talking 80,000 people. In this organization, people have been demonstrating a level of commitment, a level of engagement, a level of, heroic willingness to address, I would say, many of the fights to keep the supply chain running, to serve the customer in a way that, frankly, I have never seen. And I want to recognize all the supply chain professionals across the globe, and in particular the ones in Schneider, and our partners, you know, our suppliers and our customers, for the, again, the patience, the level of hard work, the collaboration, that without that we would not have been able to deliver what we have delivered. And I think that also those times, those constant disruptions that we have went through in the last 3 years, have somewhere, you know, pushed the level of collaboration and the intensification of the connections in our network. And I'm saying it very thoughtfully. I think when I spoke about resilience, I could also put a very, very heavy weight on how we manage the relationship with our partners. And I'm talking, you know, our suppliers and partners, because we understood also the importance of having a real strategic engagement with those partners. And when I say that, we were probably more tactical in many occasions. We were probably not engaging at all the way to the C-level. I can tell you that we have had now, you know, connected the dots with many of the suppliers and the partners, you know, at CEO level, at executive level, sharing our, you know, strategic roadmaps, sharing transparently the visibility on our planning, forecast, and, you know, demand and supply plans, which has completely, completely changed. I mean, again, if I rewind and I look at where we were 3 years ago and where we are today in the level of collaboration with many of these partners, I think it's completely day and night, and they are recognizing it, and they are absolutely, you know, a handshake today between us in order to, you know, collaborate on sustainability, collaborate on innovation, think about, you know, new future roadmaps, etc. So I could go on and on and on, but you know, so many things have happened in the last 3 years that there will be probably time to sit down and, you know, kind of write books about really, you know, how much we all collectively have learned and how much we all collectively changed the way we operate supply chain.
No, absolutely. And it's badly needed. We should have some of these books written. Now, I want to move to the framework that you use. So we talked with your team separately. you for the transformation since you started as chief supply chain officer and up till now. I know that you used Strive, yeah, as a framework to develop, to up the level of supply chain in Schneider Electric. And I have here Strive stands for sustainability, T for trusted, R for resilience, I for intelligence, V for vision, values, E for efficiency. I hope I got it right. Now, I wanted to ask you, Murad, what would be some of the key or most proudest case study practical initiatives that you started 3 years ago and now are full swing implemented? Maybe you have some, you know, some already results that make you so proud that you want to share with our audience.
I mean, there is so much, and you know, there are plenty of things we are proud. There are things that, you know, we are struggling. And let's be honest, we know that we are still in the transition period coming out of the 3 years crisis. And our objective is really to make sure that we don't waste any good crisis. Okay, I'm going to start by that. Is what are the lessons learned? What is our deep learning on how, I would say, we better prepare the future, how we get, sharpened pencils in order to better support our customers and better support our business. That's my, day-to-day and big focus right now. You mentioned Strive, and I'm quite proud of the overall, you know, Strive strategy. We call it our supply chain strategy transformation. It's about a 3 years program. We launched it basically at the beginning of this crisis. And I think that it was quite spot on to address the major challenges that we went through during these last 3 years. You know, number one, sustainability, and I mentioned it to you. I mean, we all see what's going on with the energy transition, with the challenges in some regions of the world where energy inflation is to the roof, you know, Europe, electricity, gas, etc. Very, very clearly the challenge for the humanity, which is, you know, the CO2 emission and the importance. And again, I think the way we saw it at Schneider Electric is that we all have a very concrete role to play to contribute, I would say, to that big picture. And frankly, when we came out with this plan, it's a plan that was worked with the leadership of the team, of our team, and many of the contribution coming from different sides of the company, people were very, very engaged to say, I want to do something that is meaningful. I cannot sit there and not, you know, contribute in day-to-day operation, in the way I work every day. And I'm quite proud of the way we have started very early talking about sustainability. And to be honest with you, I could even rewind a little bit earlier. Before Strive, we had what we call the 3 years transformation, which was the Tailored, Sustainable and Connected 4.0. That was our TSC 4.0. And where I'm proud is that we started speaking about sustainability as one of the major pillars of supply chain, probably 6 or 7 years ago. That's how we were already, you know, considering how to, you know, remove single-use plastics, how we wanted to reduce our energy consumption and being more, thoughtful about the energy we were consuming, etc. So all in all, sustainability has been an important element in driving the transformation in global supply chain at Schneider Electric. And I think we were also having the opportunity that Schneider is a specialist in energy management. And Schneider decided to position itself as a provider of solution to help its customer to decarbonize. So we were kind of the guinea pig, and we said, you know, drink our own champagne or eat our own food. We really wanted our facilities, our factories, our distribution centers to, I would say, walk the talk, using our technology, implementing it, testing and learning from it. And I'm super proud because, you know, I go and visit some of the factories where I see people in charge of, I would say, the facility management, the process, and they are speaking about the Schneider offers that are not produced in their factory, but they are coming from the Schneider catalog in a way that when we have a customer visit, I mean, the customers are completely blown up by the fact that someone very operational, very practical is able to describe, you know, how they are monitoring the energy in the plant, how they act, you know, to reduce the consumption, you know, why they are monitoring this process versus that process, and so on and so forth. So a lot to be, you know, and I could go on and on. I could mention here one element of pride, which is, you know, that we have decided in 2021, in H1 2021, to launch what we call the Zero Carbon Project, where we engage with 1,000 of our top suppliers, the program to reduce by half their CO2 emission. And we provided support, we provided, you know, technology platforms, digital platforms with resources, etc., and the expertise coming from Schneider to help them. And we are engaged, and our objective is to deliver this program. And that's another element of, you know, pride that that I could share with you. So sustainability being a very, very big one. I could say also on the resilience pillar, I think we have significantly stepped up on what we call the power of two, the dual sourcing, the complete redesign of our strategy, and going with a more regional approach, empowering the regions, aligning better with where our markets are, where our manufacturing base is, and where our supplier base is located, and with the idea to really manage the risks and manage, I would say, the single point of failures, developing a real strategy to have alternative sources and knowing where do we build, I would say, the resilience. And there are multiple ways of doing that. That could be, as I said, power of two, having multiple factories producing the same product, having, you know, dual sourcing, same parts being supplied and produced by multiple suppliers, but also strategic stocks, being much more thoughtful on what means a strategic stock, how we manage that strategic stock. And a lot of work that has been done also with R&D. I think it also, as I said, these last 3 years have brought us together with the R&D in working and identifying what are the platforming that needs to happen, what is our strategy for the future in terms of design, you know, how we decomplexify, you know, our supply chain by lesser of what we call the long tail offers, kind of also bringing together the technology platforms, reducing the number of chips that we are using in our products in order to massify the volume. So on and on again, a lot of work being done, and in a very structured and very professional manner regarding resilience. And probably the last thing, and I will certainly talk multiple times about it, but I think on people, we have invested in two dimensions. On people, we have invested on the expertise, competencies, and this in few domains. I mean, I could mention digital. We have significantly accelerated to beef up our capabilities there in the people, identifying the talents, training them, developing the capabilities, but also in the leadership and thinking that the leadership of supply chain that is needed today is not the leadership style that was needed probably 3 or 4 years ago. And we see more of you know, agile mindset, catalyst leadership, people that are able to drive action with only 60 or 70% of the data and not, you know, going after the 99.9%. So all that kind of frames the overall STRIVE program that, you know, we started, and we are planning to close at the end of 2023 with the ambition to launch the next transformation for the following 3 years.
Now, some impressive case studies. And staying with people for a second, and I want to bring into the discussion the ChatGPT AI boom that has happened and taken the planet by storm. I guess we've been talking about AI for a while. It's just that now, since ChatGPT, we have a tool that you, me, our kids can use, and it's fascinating, and it's at the same time incredibly powerful, and it's been an explosion of all these other tools, and it's only going to get more and more. I don't know if you saw the other day, there was AI that composed a song by using the voice of Drake, and it went viral. And the scary side, as well as the incredible opportunity, is that some people said it's better than the actual voice of Drake. So taking that into account, and AI is a big changer in the way we work, in the way we live, in all of that, and linking it to people and the augmentation. I mean, we have the phrase that people with AI will replace people without AI. What's your thoughts? Tell us a little bit about how you're thinking about AI and how to use it.
I mean, it's definitely something in the back of the mind of many of us, and we are really learning as we walk, and technology is accelerating and we are seeing it. But I want to say that I consider myself in the business of people. I consider that supply chain is a business of people. It's a business of people that are adding value to material. They are consuming energy and transforming energy into, products and solutions that are delivered to our customers. And while I consider, and you use the word very rapidly, I consider that our supply chain professionals and people will be always needed. I consider that they will be augmented, and they will be augmented in a way that we could better leverage, I would say, their brain power and somewhere kind of better and faster and easier automate the, I would say, repetitive tasks. We would be able to tackle the things that are probably requiring less of this kind of level of agility, you know, the ability to navigate, you know, when you have a crisis. I mean, if you look at what happened the last 3 years, you know, Suez Canal blockage, COVID and down factories because of shortages of materials, etc. I mean, I think we have to be realistic. I mean, the time where a supply chain like this one will be completely running without people is not yet for tomorrow. That there will be some kind of autonomous sections of the supply chain operating, absolutely. I mean, I have zero doubt that with digital twin, where you will be able to simulate the process, collect data with IT/OT, bring those data to a higher layer, and have ability to do simulations, but you still need people to do that. I mean, you still need people to design the system and to design the solution. So I'm not anxious about it. I'm more excited about it. And I'm more kind of thinking that it's going to be requiring, you know, another acceleration of the transformation of the workforce, another acceleration of the transformation of all the supply chain professionals. They will need to be the one designing the systems, designing, I would say, those end-to-end architectures, activating those automatic solutions, the AIs, the chat GPTs of the future. But then I would say the need and the levels of the people we will need will continue to grow. And I'm very, very optimistic about it. And as we are dealing, I mean, we are all dealing with teras, if not zillions of data, on a daily basis. You know, we have more sensors than we ever had, and we see them coming even further. We see, you know, data being collected on every transaction, every movement of goods, traceability everywhere. So the ability humanly to deal with and digest those data is not there. And you need absolutely AI to augment our human capabilities to extract the value of those data. And that's, again, what makes our job so exciting. I like to, you know, kind of share when I'm in front of, groups of students or, you know, young professionals, to tell them that you have this opportunity where, in fact, supply chain is the place where, you know, the real world comes with the digital worlds and, you know, kind of merge together. And while in the past it was a lot of, science fiction, if I could say it that way, I think today we are in the real world where, you know, digital, data, physical, material are coming together. And the ones who are able to orchestrate all that together are the ones that are going to make the future.
And I was having a just yesterday a discussion with Nada Sanders. So she's a professor of supply chain in the States, and she was saying that to her, AI is the future. It's a bit of a combination, knowing how to use AI, but with that human spark, human intelligence to know, because AI is also not a technology. Ultimately, it has its own limitations. I mean, I'll give you a funny example. So before we went on this podcast, I actually asked ChatGPT to summarize your bio for me. You know what I got? I got that you are the chief strategy. So I said, please summarize the bio of Murat Tamud, Chief Supply Chain Officer at CSEO. I use CSEO of Schneider Electric. So I got that you're the Chief Strategy and Commercial Officer of Schneider, that you had previously worked for three other companies, and that you'd been a partner at McKinsey, and that you had graduated in Lyon. And I'm like, So I said, okay, can you please double check? Where did you get this information? And then anyway, so I went into a fun dialogue. Yeah, eventually I gave up. I said, you know what, let it be. The thing is that AI is not, and all these tools will get better, but ultimately you do need that human intelligence to also make the call which way to follow and which and how to best use this to get the best outcome. Now, at the same time, I do strongly believe that whoever is not jumping on the bandwagon and training or using or trying these tools will definitely be left behind.
Radu, I'll give you an example. I mean, if you would rewind 5 or 6 years ago, we didn't have any job code in supply chain associated to data analyst and data scientist. Today, we have 150 people in the supply chain, not in the company, because in the company we have more, but in supply chain only, I have 150 people under the job code of data scientist and data analyst.
Exactly, it's the same. The tractor. The tractor also put a lot of horse carts out of business, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I guess what is indeed half scary, half exciting, if I'm to be honest to myself, is the pace. The pace and the rhythm, I'm not so sure that we've ever had the speed, the velocity with which things are happening at the scale at which it's happening today, but such is life.
No, again, I, you know, as I said, I think we are in an exciting phase of development for supply chains. The disruptions that we had to deal with were, consuming a lot of bandwidth, making us very busy. And at the same time, they forced us to accelerate many of those transformations. But now it's certainly as we come out of the crisis, I think that would be probably the time where I see many of the topics we just spoke about, like, you know, AI and digital and sustainability and so on, probably further accelerating in the next 3 years to come.
And as we're drawing close to an end, I want to ask you one or two more questions on the topic of, on the topic of hiring. So this again is more of an art really than, especially if you talk about top leadership. In general, it is an art, but top leadership, your direct teams or, you know, key positions within Schneider. So maybe tell us one or two secrets to success and maybe for the fun of it, also one or two mistakes that you might have made, not mentioning names necessarily, but what went wrong and why?
It's a very good question, Radu. And number one, I as a company and as a leader, I do believe strongly in diversity. And diversity is diversity of culture, diversity of profiles, diversity, gender diversity. And having a leadership team like the one I have today, I'm blessed. I have to say, I'm very, very honest. I think I have fantastic, you know, leaders in the supply chain team of Schneider Electric. They are great people, super committed, highly professional in their domain of expertise. That each one of them is really, really highly knowledgeable in procurement, planning, quality, HR, strategy, etc. I mean, all the people have a real strong, you know, knowledge. And when I look also, we have a team that is made of people coming from all over the planet. And I can tell you it makes a huge difference. We have people from the US, we have people from Europe, we have people from UK, we have people, UK is in Europe, we have people from India, from China, and the kind of dialogue that, you know, when we are in front of a problem, having, you know, those different ways and angles of looking at it makes it a level of richness that I'm just amazed, you know, again and again, every time. And we went through 3 years of not being able to see each other physically. And we just kind of reconnected 3 months ago, where we brought everybody together when we were in Germany. And I can tell you, it was an amazing week where, you know, people, I could see and observe the level of energy, the level of sharing, you know, hey, how do you do this and what you do and that and etc. and contribution from all the people. So that's number one. Number two, the way I like to build a team, or the way I'm looking at people that are, you know, easy to do business with. I think in our job, you know, it is one thing to have, of course, the credential, the expertise, the competency, but you need to be someone that has this ability to listen to the customer. And the customer can be the real external customer, that can be the business, that can be the commercial team. How, you know, what is their expectation? And how do I, you know, take this outside in view, that I'm not solving my problem, but I'm solving their problem. I'm making their life easier. And I think this is a super important element, is how this person is really business oriented, easy to do business with, understanding, I would say, the customer expectation, pain point, and so. So that's one key element. The other element is, you know, I'm looking for people that have this eagerness to learn every day. I think, you know, we spoke about AI, we spoke about digital, we spoke about all these new things that are coming in supply chain. What I learned, you know, when I was in school 25 years ago or 27 years ago, I mean, has changed, okay? And is no more relevant. So there are many things that if you don't learn as you go, you are completely busted. You are completely, you know, outdated. So it's super important that this team is a team that says, hey, you know what? I want to stay up to date. I want to be, you know, understanding the technology of tomorrow. And for that, I'm taking the time to read, to learn, to visit, you know, other companies, and to be always in that mindset of understanding. And last thing is, I mean, we all need the energy. You know, in the last 3 years, you know, the amount of effort, work, you know, drive that you need to deliver, you need that, you know, internal flame that, you know, motivates you every morning to go for it, to be willing to always think the next step. I mean, many people ask me, hey, what keeps you awake? What keeps me awake at night is, what's next? You know, okay, we did Strive, we did digital, we did this, we did that, but what's the next, you know, big thing? And not the next big thing that I want to be fancy and it's gonna be nice, etc. No, what is the next thing that we cannot miss? We must absolutely be part of it and be, you know, ahead of it and anticipate about the next thing. So those would be a bit of my high level ways of, you know, assess when I get people in front of me. And as you said, it's not a, you know, a perfect science, let's be honest, and we all make mistakes. And I think the thing I would, after, you know, 27 years of career, the one recommendation is, when you make a mistake and when you realize you made a mistake, there is a moment where you have to step back and say, let's have a talk. And as two professionals, let's make a decision to change, I would say, the context that doesn't enable this person to succeed, and give the person something else to do, rather than kind of, you know, sticking to try to make it work whilst you have already tried.
Solid advice. Last question from you, Murad. What would be one piece of advice that you would give to a newcomer into supply chain, starting their career, wanting to one day become a C-level executive like you?
No, I mean, it's a very interesting, again, question. The one comment, and it's probably you heard it many times, but I always apply it to myself, and I try to share that with people when they are in front of me, is you need to do what you like, and you need to like what you do. And when there is an inconsistency in this sentence for yourself, you better to step back and rethink, you know, what you are doing, and probably go for something else and change your career road. So I would say it's super important that you feel good, you feel motivated every morning when you go to job, you know, when you engage with the rest of your colleagues, that you feel that what you are doing is contributive to something. And I told you about sustainability. I was myself also amazed by how, you know, new professionals that are joining us, they come to Schneider and say, you know, I came to Schneider because you guys are real. You are investing millions in development of, you know, decarbonization. you're talking to things that are speaking to me, and I want to be part of that. And I, myself, I was amazed. They're not joining Schneider because, you know, we are number two in Gartner and so on. They're joining Schneider because they believe that it has, I would say, a superior meaning and value, I would say, as a contribution. I think I would say be super open, try new things. You know, at the early stage of your career, you can, you know, touch different domains and do quality and do logistics and go for manufacturing and engage with suppliers, engage with customers. Give yourself, you know, a 360 degree. We, many companies, including Schneider, offers those kind of, you know, young talent programs where you can rotate in different jobs. You can do 6 months this job, go to another location, do 6 months and so on. And after 3 years, you have seen, you know, four or five different jobs. And that gives you, you know, say, hey, now I probably, and I didn't have that chance. Okay. I think this is a great, great type of program. You go to a company, you touch different jobs, and you can, you know, cool down and think about where you want your career to go. I would say don't fix too early your career plan. You know, the world is made. I mean, if you would have told me, would you be a chief supply chain officer 10 years ago? Honestly, I would not have bet on that. Okay. And I met in my career great leaders that, you know, coached me, gave me the opportunities and, you know, the chance to be at the right moment in the right place and take the challenge. You know, sometimes there are things when they are proposed to you, you say, well, you know, I'm not sure this is exactly, but I think there is a level of trust that you have to also build that the company, when, you know, you are engaged with the company, that the company will take good care of you and will give you the right challenges to stretch you and give you the opportunity to continue to grow. So, I mean, and my probably last comment is the last 3 years, once again, we were in very, very uncomfortable situations. You know, we were struggling. We have been, I would say, in difficult moments. But as you said, as I said, this is when you are challenged the most. This is when you are the most uncomfortable, that you are learning and growing the fastest. And I think for all supply chain professionals, we have grown in the last 3 years, probably more than the previous 20 years.
Super. Well, Murad, thanks a lot. It's been a super insightful discussion. I particularly also want to just for 1 second emphasize the point that you made with, you know, no need to overly plan or let's say strategize your career too early. We've recently put out a book with McKinsey, and we had interviewed, I don't know, quite a few C-level CEOs, CEOs, and this was exactly what you said so rightfully. Try to have a sense of different things, because especially if you want to become in a leadership position, you need to understand end-to-end, whether it's end-to-end supply chain, end-to-end business, focus on the customer, all of these things that are obvious, common sense, you may say even. But as we both know, common sense is not that common, and it is key to pay attention. So thanks a lot for your time. Great sharing, and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Radu. Really a pleasure. And I mean, anytime you want to exchange, confrontate ideas, it would be my great pleasure.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to go to www.elcottglobal.com and click the podcast button for all the show notes of the interview. Also, subscribe to our mailing list to get our latest updates first. If you're listening through a streaming platform like iTunes, Spotify or Stitcher, we would appreciate a kind review. 5-star works best to keep us going and our production team happy. And of course, share it with your friends. I'm most active on LinkedIn, so do feel free to follow me. And if you have any suggestions on what to do and who to invite next, don't hesitate to drop me a note. And if you're looking to hire top executives in supply chain or transform your business, of course, contact us as well to find out how we can help.